I don't know about you, but in our family gatherings at Christmas or New Year, we sometimes remember a few family stories. Like the one where my mum went shopping with me as a baby in the pram and then went home, leaving the pram outside Woolworths with me in it. Or the one when our family went to Austria. Mum and Dad, me, my brothers. We were good friends with a German family, and they took us to a big farmhouse along an Austrian valley. Well, one day we were coming back from a walk in the mountains, and we stopped at the shops in a village. And then after that, piled back in the cars, families mixed up, us boys wanting to go in the German car. And we drove the last 5 miles up the valley to the house, and then got out and played. And an hour later, it was time for ice creams, bit of a late afternoon ritual, treat. And we got the ice creams, but there seemed to be one too many. And we counted up again, and my little brother, age 7, was missing. We wondered where he was. Then we checked who came in each car and realized he'd been left in the village, 5 miles down the road, an hour and a half ago. My dad hurried to the car and we all looked up the road, and then we spotted him in the distance, about 400 yards away. He'd walked all the way back. He wasn't impressed. But these things happen. And we're looking at the time when Jesus was left behind in Jerusalem. He was 12 years old and came to Jerusalem every year with his family, his parents, his brothers and sisters for Passover festival. And Joseph and Mary were a faithful Old Testament married couple and leaders of their family. And the days of Passover were their annual family holiday. Well, that year, the Nazareth contingent had walked a day's journey home and set up camp before Joseph and Mary realized Jesus wasn't with them. It's easy to do. Our family remembers. And especially when Joseph and Mary had several younger children to look after. They hurried back to Jerusalem. But even there, they couldn't find him. It took 3 days of searching before they discovered him in the temple. And that's where it gets very interesting. Here we are in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and following. It's on page 61 of the Church Bibles, if you want to have a look now. Luke 2, verse 46. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." It was a bit of a rollicking, as much as Mary dared in the temple. But Jesus' reply was stunning. In some ways, it was just like a nearly teenager's reaction. "Don't you know me well enough to know that I'd be here?" I think it's hard for parents to understand their children sometimes, especially when they become independent-minded. And Jesus obviously knew his mind to a large extent. Indeed, his mind had been well exercised in these discussions and debates in the temple with the teachers for the 3 days. And they were all amazed at the young boy's understanding and answers. His parents, though, were slow to understand. Jesus tried to say it, and he tried to say it graciously. It could have sounded hurtful. So he put it as a question. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? As Jesus, by the age of 12, already realized he was the Son of God. Not in a brash, boastful way, just in a way of clear self-understanding. Clear enough to call the temple, God's holy place of the Old Testament people, to call it my Father's house. So Jesus knew himself to be God's only son, and he says it as unfussily as he can, as a question for his parents to ponder. Now this is a big moment in Jesus' life. He's becoming a teenager and gaining great understanding in the scriptures and a great and clear self-understanding. And it comes to this sort of crisis where his parents telling off causes him to say it out loud. We sometimes find ourselves in a situation, don't we, where we have to respond and say it. We know it. It's time to say it. My Father's house. His mum and dad still didn't get it. But Jesus knew who he was. It does smack of reality, doesn't it? And I think it's easy for some of us who are teenagers to understand this sort of moment. It's easy for some of us who are parents of teenagers to understand this sort of moment that was going on in Jesus' life, this big moment. Now, let's have a think a bit more deeply about this, because while there are some people who follow an old 20th century theory that Jesus didn't really think he was God's son, they say, oh, the New Testament writers made it up. But this event smacks of reality. Or maybe they follow the line of Monty Python's Life of Brian or such thinking, which suggested that it was the gullible, suggestible crowds who made it up. And Jesus himself just didn't know how to stop them saying it and thinking it. But this passage says different and tells us something very important if we are interested in who Jesus claimed to be. The evidence of the earliest texts and this account, which smacks of reality, is clear that Jesus from an early age had worked out for himself through the scriptures that he was the Son of God. Even though others were amazed, perplexed, didn't understand. Others may well have taken a while to catch on, but Jesus, aged 12, had the self-understanding which was developed enough to know it and say it. And knowing he was God's only son did not make Jesus boastful or conceited, because that's not what God's about. Far from it. He was a misunderstood teenager, but he still went home with his mum and dad and was obedient to them and grew up in all the ways we ought to grow up as a teenager. In verse 51, then he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was obedient to them, his parents. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. Actually, teenagers, as Jesus knew, need growth in these four ways. So that's mental growth, not just knowledge, but wisdom. We need to grow in that way. And then, as well as mental growth, physical growth. Actually, the NRSV hasn't done particularly well in its translation here. It says, and in years. What it's deleted or demoted to the notes is probably a better translation of the Greek. Can you see the note next to and in years, the little letter U, refers to the U at the bottom of the page, which says, or in stature. This is about physical stature. The Greek word is helixia, and it means bodily stature. And teenagers grow into adults physically, and that's an important aspect of the growth of teenage years. So mental growth, physical growth, and then it says in divine favor, in favor with God, it's spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, as in being in favour with God, is often neglected in our society, which leaves young people vulnerable to spiritual confusion and spiritual manipulation by others, by those up to no good. Good spiritual growth is what we need, and especially in our teenage years, because it brings resilience and all sorts of benefits of well-being. And Jesus knew this growth. And then in human favor, which means in favor with people, in sort of relational growth, knowing how to form friendships and knowing how to seek good, upbuilding relationships, not destructive relationships. So those four things are the growth which Jesus knew in his teenage years: mental growth, physical growth, spiritual growth, and relational growth. They're all important. So important. All four of them together. And Jesus had faithful parents who helped him grow in all these ways. And his obedience to them will have helped. And his independent spirit will have helped. But what helped most of all is that even at the age of 12, Jesus knew who he was in relation to God, his heavenly Father. In establishing our self-identity, there is nothing more helpful than knowing how to relate to God, understanding our relationship with the heavenly Father through Jesus. And that self-identity then helps us to grow in all sorts of ways. Big event in Jesus' life from which we can take much. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for this event in Jesus' family life, which was such a big event for him and for others. And pray that we might learn, we might be inspired, we might be turned around to be better followers of Jesus. For your name's sake, amen.